Hey everyone, Michael here. Welcome back into the series and teaching through the book of James. It's interesting, we've literally had at least three technical challenges here as we're trying to shoot this. And I got to tell you, it just reminded me of the verse in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, where it starts and talks about, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in high places. The enemy is not interested. The enemy of this world, whether you believe in it or not, whether you believe in Satan or not, that's your decision. But what I will tell you is it's real. I've had some great experiences in my life seeing the reality of it. And there is a desire for this content, the truth of God's word, to not get in your ears. So I want to thank you for taking a few minutes and joining. And I'm excited for you as you're challenged through God's word here. So what we're going to do is we're going to break James 3 up into two different sections. So the first section is going to talk about the tongue, controlling the tongue, and the importance of that. This is something that's very impactful in our lives today, in every relationship that we have, a lot of things that we watch, media, etc. And then the second part, we're going to talk about true wisdom. Really, where does true wisdom come from? Not wisdom, but wisdom, right? Where does true wisdom come from? We all want wisdom, hopefully, in our lives to make good decisions, to make better decisions than you made last time. Hopefully, when you make a mistake or you screw up, you're like, gosh, I learned from that. I'm not going to do that again, right? Well, the goal is to say, where do I get true wisdom? The second video of James chapter 3 here, part 2 really, is going to talk about that. So part 1, we're going to talk about controlling the tongue. Before we jump in, let's have a word of prayer. Father, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to connect here today. I pray protection and blessing over the technology that we're using. I pray protection over the ears and the eyes that are watching and listening to this as it's out there in different capacities. And I just ask that you would cause those that are listening to have a peace that comes over them, to be able to really understand and hear your word, maybe for the first time in a way they haven't in the past. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so let's talk about James chapter 3, and we're going to jump in. It starts talking about the tongue. But before it starts talking about the tongue, it's interesting. It gives a little warning to those that are teaching. And here's what it says, James 3, verse 1. It says, dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. I thought that was interesting. It talks about, hey, if you're teaching other people, just pay attention. You're going to be judged a little more strictly. And why is that? Well, because you're leading people down certain paths. And obviously, there are people that unfortunately have used God's word, the things of the Lord, as teachings for their own personal gain, to build their own personal, we'll call it kingdom, here on this earth, instead of really building God's kingdom. And I think that's one of the reasons, that may not be the only reason, but in my opinion, I think that's one of the reasons that that warning is being given. Hey, pay attention here. When you're sharing the truth of God's word, like, be careful with your own life. Verse 2, it says, indeed, we all make many mistakes, for if we can control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control everything ourselves in every other way. So, you know, it's making an analogy here of the fact that, first off, we're all imperfect. We're flawed. I'm imperfect. I'm flawed. You're imperfect. You're flawed. We're all sinners, right? But it talks about the fact that if we could control our tongues, we could literally control ourselves in every way. And it's crazy because the tongue is the smallest piece of the body. But we've heard it said before, the old adage, remember years ago, loose lips sink ships. Remember that? And we see what happens when people start spewing things, falsehoods, lies, creating stories, crafting stories that are just untruths about people. In fact, we even say things like untruths to make it feel better. Instead of saying it's a lie, we're like, well, no, I didn't lie. That was a white lie. No, that was a lie. You blatantly said the wrong thing. And we can't control it. Sometimes we want to say the right thing, but we still do it. So I want to challenge you to think about the reality of the power of the tongue. Verse 3, we can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth, and a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. So now the author, James, is giving us an analogy that we can really understand. We say, hey, listen, by the way, we've all seen big ships. We've all been in a situation where we've seen these big, massive horses, right? And that bridle in the mouth or the rudder on the ship is what's used to control this bigger object. And in a lot of ways, when you think about it, you are where you are in life because of a series of choices and decisions that you've made. Now, a lot of times, and most of the time, those choices and decisions that you've made, whether it's the spouse that you've been married to, the job that you're working at, you know, or a variety of other things, they have lived themselves out, we'll say, through your words. And your words is your tongue. And so it's interesting. It's talking about, listen, in the same way, verse 5, let's go back and read it here. In the same way, verse 5, the tongue is a small thing that can make grand speeches. So we're going to be careful. The end of verse 5 says this, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. So James is telling us, like, listen, that tongue can make grand speeches, but be careful because it can be as powerful as a little spark that can literally set the whole forest on fire. In other words, you can literally burn your life down by you not controlling your tongue. Think about that, right? As you continue to be in a place, remember the old story of the boy that cried wolf? Oh, he cried, oh, you know, and then all of a sudden they don't believe him anymore, right? You've probably met people in your life where they just continually are not honest, or they don't tell the full truth or distort things for whatever reason. I don't know. But it's so important in life for us to evaluate, like, what are we doing and how are we, not how are they, but how are we, how am I, how are you communicating to other people? Like, take real inventory of our lives. Verse 6 says, and among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. Now, I made a little note in my Bible here, and I encourage you, not just a highlighter, I'm holding this. If you're listening, obviously you don't see me holding anything. You're probably looking at the road or the treadmill, or maybe you're taking a walk. I don't know. But I made some notes, and I made a note here with a pen. Make sure you get a pen that's easy to use in your Bible so it doesn't bleed through, meant for the thin pages. That's for free, by the way, okay? But there's a little note that I made here, and it says, I wrote down, Eve sinned because of enticing words from Satan. Now, again, the end of the verse here talks about, it is a whole world of wickedness, talking about the tongue, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. Now, obviously, hell was designed by God for Satan and those that don't choose God, right? But that is, we'll call it Satan's home, where he's going. And Satan is evil in and of himself. Now, you may, in this little analogy or thought here, you may say, well, I don't know that I fully believe or believe in Satan, and that's your own prerogative. I'm not going to try and defend or prove that to you. I can tell you, in my life, I've seen a lot of things that have caused me to realize the reality of who Satan is and the fact that he is real. But I just want to challenge you with this thought. So here's Eve walking in the Garden of Eden. You remember the old story of Adam and Eve? Remember, it's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Okay, it's Adam and Eve walking in the Garden of Eden. And Eve, then God says, hey, listen, you can have and eat of every tree, every fruit of every tree in the garden, except one. There's just one that you can't eat from. So you can have everything else and everything's free, but there's just one tree that you can't eat from. And it's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, of course, like a typical human being, even though Eve lived thousands of years ago, she focused on what she didn't have instead of focusing on all the blessings that she had. By the way, little side note and encouragement in our lives, are you focused in your life on things that you want to get, on what you'd like to have versus what you have? Now, I'm not in any way, shape, or form saying that there's anything wrong with buying or having things. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with going out and getting things. I'm saying, what are you focused on? What is your daily life driver behind you? But I think it's interesting that Eve's sin, which was technically the first sin of all sins, right, for all of us, Eve's sin was birthed out of words. So I want you to think about this in your own life and think about times in your past where you have sinned. Sin is nothing more than doing something that is wrong in God's sight. We'll talk about lying, stealing, adultery, pornography, because that's mentally, and we'll call it adultery in your own mind, in a lot of ways, but doing something that is against God, right? And think about when you've done something that was wrong in the past, that was sin in the past, how it all started. A lot of times it starts with words or someone else's words in our ears that entice us and cause us to say, yeah, you know what? You're right. I deserve this and I deserve that and I deserve, or I think I should have, or I can't believe it. And all of a sudden it just starts and grows and develops. You know, the old spark in the forest fire, right? Which is the end of, the end of verse 5. And so I want you to think about that. What are the words that other people use to you, and what are the words that you use to others? Are they encouraging? Are they uplifting? Are they empowering? Or do they tear down? Do they kind of push others towards things that you know are probably not right, but it's like, you know what? Hey, let's live on the edge together, because you don't want to do it by yourself, so you want to bring someone else with you. You know, the old misery loves company. Think about what you're saying. Verse 7. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water, bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives, or a grapevine produce figs? No. And you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. So now James is giving us more practical examples to kind of drive this point home. We've all been in a situation where we've said encouraging things from times to people, and then things that pulled people down from times to folks. And, James is asking us, like, hey, listen, does a fig tree produce olives? Well, no, it doesn't produce olives. We know that. Does a grapevine produce figs? No, a grapevine produces grapes. You know, does salty water produce fresh water to drink? And the answer is no. I mean, imagine going out there, you got to get a little glass, you get a cup, a plastic cup, maybe a paper cup, I don't know. You're out there in the ocean, don't use paper, it's probably a bad idea, in the ocean, but you go out and you get a cup of water, and you're not just going to start drinking it, that'd be disgusting, right? Now, maybe you do because you think you're a rebel, I don't know, but most of us, you're not going to drink that water. They're gonna say, no, that's disgusting, I want fresh water. But here's what's interesting. What's interesting is salt water, here's a little question for you, does salt water have the ability to be drank and provide nutrients for our body? The short answer is yes. However, that salt water cannot be drank in the form that it is in. It has to go through a series where the salt is removed and the water is purified to become ready to drink. So I want to end part one of chapter 3 with this challenge for you and I. And that is, when we have a thought in our minds, remember the old two ears, one mouth, listen twice, speak once. When we have a thought in our mind, are we willing to, or are we disciplined to, or are we willing to develop ourselves to grow in the lens of saying, all right, let me think about this. And I've been victim of this myself, not victim, I've done this. Let me say, we're not victims, we choose to do things, where I've had a thought and I've spoken it too quickly, and I'm like, I wish I could have got that one back here. That was an inside word and it got out. Let me get that one back. And we can't bring it back once it's gotten out. So my challenge to all of us here is say, hey, time out. Let's take our thoughts, like the salt water, through the filters and say, okay, let me think about this. If I speak this, is this edifying? In other words, does it build up? Does it encourage? Does it cause value to the listener? Or is it selfish in my regard? Is it malicious in intent? Does it tear down? Like, what am I communicating? And may we all improve the process of filtering what we think to say words that are actually empowering and edifying and building. That's my challenge. Hey, I'm excited to jump in here in just a minute. Part two, we're going to talk about, of chapter three, we're going to talk about where true wisdom comes from. You're not going to want to miss that. So thanks for dialing in. Take some notes. Don't just get through this. Remember, it's not about how much of the Bible you get through. It's about how much gets into you and changes your life inside out. Be blessed. See you at James chapter 3, part 2.